Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. For the third week in a row, our gospel for the day has taken us back to Holy Week, back to Maundy Thursday evening. Does that seem strange to you? We're done with Holy Week. We celebrated Easter. We're almost done with the Easter season. It shouldn't seem too strange, because on that night before he died, Jesus not only prepared his disciples for the events of that night and the next day and the next 3 days, on that evening, Jesus spoke many things to his disciples to prepare them for life on earth after his ascension, after he went to the Father. And so we look back at these words too, because that's the same era in which we live, in which we have always lived. The era in which Jesus has gone to the Father, and now we're waiting for him to come again. And so he teaches us about life on this earth during this time. What he teaches in today's gospel is about the access that we now have as his disciples to God the Father. Even though Jesus isn't standing here in the room with us, we do have access to God the Father in the name of Jesus. First, Jesus says to his disciples in the gospel, "In that day you will not ask me anything." Now, "in that day" here refers to that time after Jesus goes to the Father, after he ascends into heaven. The disciples had been asking Jesus many questions on that Maundy Thursday night. And there were many things they wanted to ask him, but were afraid to ask him. But soon Jesus would ascend to the Father, and they wouldn't be able to ask him those questions anymore. Not like they had been. But that's okay. First, because as they confessed at the end of this gospel, now we realize, Jesus, you don't even need us to ask you things. You know already what our questions are and what we need to know and what answers we need to have. But also, it's fine that we can't ask Jesus questions here and now, because we have access to God the Father. He tells his disciples, "Truly, truly, I tell you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full." Now, Jesus' disciples had been praying to God the Father their entire lives, praying according to his instructions in the Old Testament, and that was good. But never had they prayed to God the Father, approached God the Father in the name of Jesus. Let's talk about what that means again. It means first to approach God the Father through faith, consciously, through faith in Jesus as the Son of God, as the one who gives us access to the Father through his death on the cross. It means to approach God the Father holding up Jesus as the access key, as the password, if you will, that gets us in the door to heaven's throne room. What gives you, a poor sinner, the right to approach the Holy God in prayer? The name of Jesus. And he lets you in. But to ask God the Father for his help in the name of Jesus also means to pray in the same way that Jesus prayed, humbly, sincerely, trustingly, with confidence that our Father will hear us because we're praying in the name of his beloved Son, to whom the Father would never deny any good thing. And since the name of Jesus has been placed on us in holy baptism, where we got the name Christian, we should be confident that our Father in heaven thinks exactly the same of each of us that he thinks of his beloved son. And praying in Jesus' name also means praying for the things that Jesus has taught us to pray for. And those things are summarized nicely for us in the seven petitions of the Lord's Prayer. We are to pray for the hallowing or the sanctifying of our Father's name, for the coming of his kingdom, for his will to be done, for our daily bread, for the forgiveness of sins, for help against temptation, for the deliverance from evil. Those seven petitions are general enough, broad enough to leave everything up to God as to how he will grant them. And that's intentional, because we don't know the best way for God's kingdom to come. And so we simply pray, "Thy kingdom come," and we trust our Father to send his Holy Spirit into the world to bring his kingdom to us in just the right way, in just the right place, at just the right time. We don't know all the things we truly need for this bodily life, and so we simply pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," and we leave God to define daily bread for us and how to give it to us. When we ask our Father for any of those things in the Lord's Prayer, leaving it up to him to grant it in the time and the way he sees fit, we can be absolutely sure that we will receive the things for which we pray. Now, you can ask God the Father for other things too, for things he hasn't promised in his word to give. It should always be a serious request. Don't use your access to God, your access to heaven, to pray for frivolous things like a certain team winning a certain game or things like that. But you might well ask for healing from a specific illness, which God hasn't promised, or for a certain job to come along or a certain opportunity in your life. You may well ask for relief from tyranny or oppression or pain. That's good and well, as long as whenever you pray for something God hasn't promised to give, you pray in the same way that Jesus prayed, "Not my will, but your will be done." But we have even more than the word of Jesus and the command of Jesus telling us to pray to God our Father. That alone is enough for us to believe that God will give us the things for which we pray, to have confidence when we approach him, Jesus' word and promise. But we also have what Jesus assures us of in today's gospel, the assurance of the Father's love for us. "In that day," he says, "you will ask in my name. I am not telling you that I will ask the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from God." You know there are different words in Greek for the word that we translate as love in English. There's the word, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." That's the love of agape, the love of commitment and devotion and genuine concern for the well-being and the happiness of someone else. But the word Jesus uses in this gospel today is not that word agape. It's the word philos. It's the word love that is a genuine like for someone. When you really like someone, it's the love of friendship, where you have common interests and common goals with someone. God the Father has called you, believers in Jesus, his friends, people whom he likes. Why? Because you or I are so likable? No. But because Jesus says, "You have loved me and have believed that I came forth from God." Now, how is it that you came to love Jesus, and that you came to view him as your friend, and that you came to believe in him? Well, that's the Father's doing too. Jesus says in another place, No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. Or he said to Peter, after Peter confessed Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. So it is the Father's doing that we love and believe in Jesus. And yet, the Father still credits that to us in his grace, still views us as people who love Jesus, and therefore he loves you too. He still treats us as his friends, as his allies. We're on the same side as the God of the universe because we're on the same side of Jesus. And so the Father is committed to hearing our prayers and helping us in every need because we're no longer strangers and aliens and enemies of God. No, we've been reconciled to God through faith in his Son. And he loves us. He thinks highly of us, all because of Jesus. This is the access we now have, direct access to God the Father in heaven in the name of Jesus. As James says in today's epistle, don't just be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. So don't just hear that you have access to God the Father. Use that access. Use it in prayer and not just here in church on Sunday mornings or on Wednesday evenings. Use your access to the Father's throne, the access that you have only in Jesus' name. Things are not safe in this world. We do truly live in enemy territory, the devil's territory here. And there are troubles and temptations on every side. There are so many things we don't know, so many things we have no control over here. But there is a God in heaven who knows exactly what we need, exactly what to do, and exactly how to help. Only trust in him and use the access you have to him in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.